Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what.
It's the Final Word World Cup Daily. Adam Collins, Vidusha Natarajah, the Associate Editor of Cricket Vote, is back with us. We're here for Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. More extra, less ordinary. Day 24, part 2, Calcutta. Eden Gardens, Netherlands and Bangladesh. It wasn't a game that we had high expectations for. However, it was quite interesting. Sum it up in 30 seconds.
Well, if the Eden Gardens started full of Bangladesh fans, probably the most well-attended for Bangladeshi fans so far this World Cup, and by the end, orange was the new green. it was a pretty remarkable game from Netherlands' point of view. It looked like they were down and out, you know, 60-odd for four, I think, at the time. Rallied 2-9 thanks to their middle order once more, thanks to Scott Edwards once more, and then took all the lessons from the first innings into the second innings. Spinners, cutters into the pitch, that weird little patch in the middle of the pitch that was getting short balls to skid on.
And the green patch.
The green patch, yeah. And they turned them over, 142, Bangladesh all out, and Netherlands won by 87.
The way they were speaking about the green patch was like the wet patch. So all out for, as you say, 142. So a thumping victory by 87 runs after the Dutch made 229, all out from the final ball of their allotted overs. Edwards, the captain, top scoring was 68. Could have been, should have been, out twice on naught.
Yeah.
The whole match, Fish, twists on this. Dropped in the gully and then caught behind, missed opportunity by Mushfika. As he's on zero, Mustafiz is bowling, his left arm cutters over the wicket to him. If either of those catches are pouched, they're 63 for 5, the Dutch, and in all sorts. It wouldn't have been the first time they got themselves out of early trouble through the tournament. Vikram and O'Dowd are not really having competitions they'd be happy with. And probably nor Colin Ackerman, acknowledging that he's made contributions, but his ceiling is a fair bit higher. But yeah, as you say, Edwards gets him out of trouble, but what a let-off, giving him three chances.
Yeah, massively. So if you looked at that pitch and certainly the way people were talking about it, it seemed like it was tailor-made for Bangladesh's attack. When you consider the fact that obviously they've got the spin options, we know all about those. But Mustafiz, Taskin, sharp, short, back of the length, exactly where that little round patch was. I think they were talking about the fact that this is clearly a ground where they play soccer because it had... The circle was perfectly spherical that was coming over the pitch, and it looked like that's where the centre circle would be. So, yeah, they had the ideal attack for that. As you said, they drop Edwards twice. And we actually saw what we've seen from the Netherlands all throughout this tournament. I'd say, like, their batting is a little bit like my hair, kind of, you know, flattering to Steve up front, but a lot of the work going on in the middle and the back. But, yeah, it's remarkable, really. I think the most impressive thing about this particular batting effort from the Netherlands, and specifically that middle order, is that so it's the second most runs batters 4-8 have scored this tournament. The most was, I think, against Sri Lanka. Their other three-figure score between those four positions was against South Africa in that victory. This was the slowest of the lot. They really took their time, and it looked for a moment that they were going nowhere. But as you've covered on this pod a couple of weeks ago, maybe even last week actually, when people are talking about the death of 50-over cricket and this, that and the other, this is what it gives you. It's actually on these kind of pitches where you're allowed to be a bit more considered and take some learnings from, you know, 5 overs ago into, you know, the rest of your innings. And I actually thought their launch at the end wasn't that successful until the final over.
Yeah.
When Logan Van Bay comes out and, you know, Dutt, I think the over before hits the first 6 of the innings and everyone goes up and Van Bay kind of holds it together and they end up getting bowled out with a ball to spare. But, I mean, I thought they were a bit light, all told, and... You know, as I said before, the Dutch attack just kind of took it in, and Yeah, they really did a number on Bangladesh.
They've got that bounce back ability about them. Remembering, this is the same Dutch side that were beaten by a World Cup record 309 runs in their most recent start against Australia. That could, to a lesser side, to a side that didn't have the kind of preparation the Dutch have had through the World Cup Super League, who don't have the chance to build up that that muscle memory you're talking about, where if they lose early wickets, like, right, we know how to get out of trouble because we've had to do it before.
Yeah.
A lesser team would have fallen off the cliff after being thumped by Australia like that. But to beat another full member in Bangladesh just 3 days later, that says a lot. And look, yeah, it was the hitting at the end with Van Beek. I love the way that Dutt has played a role with the bat a few times now, hitting big bombs. You know, being a six hitter who can come in at the very end, remembering that that partnership with Edwards and Engelbrecht took them all the way until the 45th over. So that rebuilding job, much as it was last week when they were playing Sri Lanka, they didn't have enough runs that day, but it was a similar kind of effort with Edwards making, I think from memory, not many runs then. It was Engelbrecht and possibly Van Beek down the list making both half centuries. So nevertheless, it's been enough runs to win today. And I just think that with Netherlands, the other thing that's worth remembering is it feels like it's marginal gains. Like they spend every media interview saying they believe they can be semi-finalists. Now, mathematically, that's almost impossible, right? Yeah. They're off the bottom of the ladder. That's England's spot now for the time being, and almost certainly will be after they lose to India tomorrow, unless something remarkable happens in their game in Lucknow. But, you know, the Dutch haven't come here to make up the numbers. They haven't rocked up at this tournament to sort of be on glorified work experience and to walk away saying, well, wasn't that a jolly good thing being an associate nation playing in a World Cup? They are here to beat full member nations, to give themselves a chance of, yeah, they're not going to make the semis this time. That task is too much. But to get there one day, and I have a huge amount of admiration for the fact that it isn't just O'Dowd with the notes in his pocket now. They've all, I've saw three or four of them pulling notes out of their pocket. It's like, if we can get, like, it's the one percenters. If it's a small marginal gain from knowing that, right, the analyst says we stand a bit squarer for this batsman, a bit finer for this batsman. You know, it's little bits of information like that. A better side, a more gifted team, may not feel the need to take on every last morsel of information the way the Dutch clearly are. So, yeah, credit to them. I think the other thing is that when associate nations, well, I say associate nations, of course, Afghanistan aren't one of them, but when the Afghanistan side beat England, beat Pakistan, and when the Dutch beat South Africa, we said they were upsets. They were surprise wins. And, you know, there was a debate online as to whether that word should have been used. But given the gap in experience and all the rest of it, I genuinely think that was a fair tag, an upset. This didn't feel an upset to me.
No,
Bangladesh had been rubbish through this tournament. I was thinking about it this morning, and my assessment was that this was a 50-50 game. In the end, the Dutch smashed Bangladesh. They've been the better team through the tournament.
Yeah, without question. I think the other thing that should be said about a team like Netherlands is you think of a lot of the non-negotiables that you would apply to the bigger teams. I think one of the non-negotiables for the Netherlands throughout, and it's something they've prided themselves on, are basically their fitness. Both in terms of running twos, they always talk about like the number of twos they run and
dropping it at their feet as well.
Their running between the wickets has been exceptional, but also in the field as well. You know, Paul van Meekeren was player of the match in this one with his threefer, and spent most of the time talking about the fielding. They talk about a specific hitting drill that they do at the start of every game day. They spend about 20 minutes or half an hour doing it every training session as well. Obviously, Baz de Leder gets a run out here to get rid of Mamadullah, I think. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, the centurion for Bangladesh.
Oh, it was Mehdi Hassan.
But
nevertheless, it was in that partnership he was forming with Mamadullah.
Yeah. So obviously, that has a big impact there. I'd also say, actually, with this Dutch side, bear in mind, as you said, coming back from the shellacking they got at the hands of Australia, not only have they come into this side not to be, you know, just the. On the, you know, that name on the wrong side of history, whether it's Herschel Gibbs hitting six sixes or Maxwell doing what he did, so Baz de Leder gets the ignominy of conceding the most runs in an ODI. And he came back brilliantly today, by the
way. He did, yeah.
But it's not just that. I think you can also look at this campaign from Netherlands and say they probably underperformed. You know, you mentioned the fact that the openers haven't been doing the business, and you look through those scorecards from previous games where they, Sri Lanka, for example, where you know what you're going to get from the middle order, you just haven't got it from the top order. Bear in mind where everyone else has been scoring their runs in this World Cup. They've got a legitimate reason to, you know, take the wins that they've got at the end of this World Cup, whether they add a couple more to that, who knows. But also look back and think, that wasn't our best self. We've impressed a lot of people, we've done a lot of things right, but our bankers coming into this tournament haven't quite done it up top.
I think they'll feel similar to the way they did after last year's T20 World Cup when they make the Super 12s. I think that's what the second stage is called of that tournament. I get a bit confused with the T20. But their cricket got Progressively worse until the final game when they knocked off South Africa. There's a couple of games where they might have won had they played their best cricket. So we haven't even mentioned their bowling performance, which was superb off the top. Edges going through and flying through at pace with the extra bounce and all the rest of it. I think Litton Das nicked off. Tanzid Hassan nicked off, Shanto nicked off, Shakib Al Hassan nicked off. Van Meekeren was a big part of that story, as was Logan Van Beek, who got rid of Tanzid. He's looked good at different times through the competition, made a half century against India about a week ago. Yeah, but the big wickets are Van Meekeren's. Shanto, who has a very high ceiling, and Shakib, who has all the experience in the world. They edged off for 9 and 5 respectively. And then Van Meekeren, the third wicket in that sequence, an absolute screaming delivery off the seam to Mushfiqur Rahim, the wicketkeeper and veteran, bowls him for one. And at that point, they're 69 for 5, and, you know, it's game over. Yeah, barring something miraculous from Mahmudullah, and they tried to consolidate, and it didn't quite work out, but, you know, they kind of took their head off the snake, as it were, and they were able to dictate terms, and it meant that, you know, even if Bangladesh batted into the 43rd over, they were never any chance of hauling down 229.
No, I mean, that is, you say there about the fact that this didn't feel like an upset, and I think that hammered home at the, you know, the back end of that Bangladesh innings, where it looked like Bangladesh were trying to preserve run rate.
Yeah, which is ridiculous, isn't it? Knowing that from this point in the competition, Bangladesh's run rate is neither here nor there. One error before, though, like Litton Das was out to Dutt, who gets another wicket bowling at the top inside the power play. He's done that on 3 or 4 occasions through the tournament, and we know how important Litton Das can be to the side. Just moving to Bangladesh for a sec, Vish. They have badly underperformed here. They made the quarterfinals in 2015 and lost to India, but a competitive quarterfinal. They had a really nice run in 2019. They beat South Africa on opening weekend, a brilliant performance there. They knocked off the West Indies in style down in Taunton with a century from Shakib. They won a couple of other games. I think they missed the semis by a game plus net run rate, right? So from where they were, they have an excellent World Cup Super League run. They win all of their series at home. This is a competition being played in, you know, not exactly like it is in Bangladesh, but, you know, fairly similar for one-day cricket. And they've just not fired a shot whatsoever. And if anything, it's going to get harder for them. They play Pakistan in Kolkata next start. I know Pakistan are almost out of semi-final calculations themselves now, but it does feel to me like Bangladesh are the side who, throughout the 3 weeks we've been, 3 or 4 weeks we've been watching so far, along with England, are the most disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the lead-up into the tournament with all the kerfuffle around Tamim Iqbal, you kind of, I don't know, I got a sense this was coming. And just because of the nature of the way that even someone like Shakib had to be pitted against Tamim in all those discussions.
So ridiculous, yeah.
Just a ridiculous distraction anyway. I mean, Bangladesh do have this in them to, you know, the scale of infighting is perhaps unbeknownst to a lot of people, because ultimately the coverage comes from purely Bangladesh fans. It's not so much like, you know, when it kicks off in Australia, you get people in England looking over thinking, well, I'd quite like to write about that. It doesn't quite happen with a country like Bangladesh. And obviously vice versa with Australia and England. But I think the other thing that, you know, if you think about the news alone off field in the last week with Shakib going back to Bangladesh to have a one-day training session with his mentor, there's a lot of complaints about, like, how can a captain leave his team when they're like that? You also got to remember that the visa situation in India is far from straightforward, and it probably makes more sense for Shakib to go back to Bangladesh for that training session rather than his coach to come the other way.
Sure.
So, yeah, that in itself was, I don't know if it's a distraction. Is, you know, your best player trying to find that extra bit of spark? Is that a distraction? Probably not, but it certainly is sold that way. So it's been quite sad, especially given that you kind of looked at that team going into it and you thought, actually, there's a lot of youth underlying the experience that they have. And, you know, hasn't been a great tournament for Tanzid Hassan, but he's someone who hopefully is only going to be better for this experience, you know, the mini Tamim. But Mehdi Hassan as well, in parts, has shown, you know, the responsibility that he's just taking on. We know he's going to be the new Shakib. I think he's already in that role now. It's probably want a bit more from him with the bat. But I quite like the fact, you know, he batted at 4 today. You know, that in itself is a good step forward for him. But yeah, otherwise, you know, I'm clutching at straws here, really, because it has been a disappointing campaign for them.
Yeah, it's like where the senior players we were referring to before with the Dutch, who not all of them are fired, but like all of them have found a way to make a contribution at one point or another. Engelbrecht's another one today, right? That's the second game in a row where he's been able to have some kind of influence, where that's not really happening for Bangladesh. Okay, Vish, let's move on to the final word, Hall of Fame. The Final Word Hall of Fame is brought to you by Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. More extra, less ordinary. As you can probably tell by how I'm decked out, it is cold outside.
Yeah, very.
We have just been in here. Normally, I'm not too into the Halloween thing. My instinct, my reflex as an Australian from a certain generation, I suppose, is not so keen on all that American stuff.
Americanization
of Australia, I've always been a bit resistant to. A lot of respect for America. Love America. But, you know, we don't always need to follow them down every tradition and holiday they have and so on. But my 3-year-old is at nursery learning about Halloween, and she's just been carving out a pumpkin in front of us here before we started recording, which was a lovely thing to do. But what it kind of triggered me to thinking is, bloody hell, this is when the Christmas stuff starts, isn't it? I saw photographs a couple of days ago of the giant Christmas trees at shopping centres and all the rest of it. Well, this is what got me thinking. The giant Christmas tree in one shopping centre in Melbourne, which I saw on social media, that gigantic Christmas tree at Westfield London, if that's not already up, it'll be up in time for ice skating, which begins in the first or second week, I think, of November. Ice skating at Westfield London, we're going to be going, Rach and I, on the opening night on the 9th of November. I'm going to suggest you come down as well with your wife, Olympia Vish. We're going to have a nice night out, and we're going to do that, and we're going to tell everybody about it, and we're going to skate around what's been dubbed the biggest Christmas tree in Europe.
Oh, wow. Yes, England win again. Change.
I know.
I'll take that.
Biggest Christmas tree in Europe. So weather getting colder, those kind of winter activities, not just autumnal things like getting a roast. Don't get me wrong. Love having a roast on a Sunday at a pub in London or whatever. But winter has another vibe to it again, and we're going to make the most of that at Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. More extra, less ordinary. Google them and get yourself down to the ice skating. The final web moment of the day for you, Vish. What jumped out when you were watching?
I think it was... the moment of the day, actually, yeah. I think it might have been Baz Delaney's run out, because it was very important, and also I thought he bounced back brilliantly with the ball, and it was just a moment that summed up this iteration of the Netherlands, really, not beholden to the pace things, not beholden to being the whipping boys, just more about, okay, yes, it was a Hall of Fame defeat, as it were, a Hall of Shame defeat, but... We're better than that. We know we're better than that. Baz Delaney knows he's better than that. And I thought it was just the perfect all-encompassing moment of what the Dutch are about.
Yeah, it's nicely put. Hey, a bit of love for Eden Gardens, right? Like, how good is that
that we
take this tournament to one of the most famous cricket grounds in the world? I feel like that Eden Gardens doesn't get the love it used to. I feel like I often see very respected colleagues of ours in India who speak of the Wanka Day, the work, rest and play, as the stadium in India, or Ahmedabad being the new home of Indian cricket.
Yeah.
What about the joint that, you know, used to have 100,000 people packing into it? Mm. I know they've done the redevelopment and all the rest of it. The thing I love about Calcutta, the overhead aerial shots on telly today, the practice pitches over in the side corner, not on the strip, which you might see at England grounds, where the pitches at the Oval go all the way across, don't you know?
Full value.
Full value for your shots. Whereabouts at the Oval? Square of the wicket.
Square.
So, but in the pocket, it's like how it used to be at the MCG. So the MCG in what is now the AFL members' pocket or flank on the Great Southern Stand side, the Shane Warne Stand side, had practice wickets there. And that was kind of a thing in footy. You'd hear on footy commentary over on the practice wickets and so on.
Oh, okay.
But that's no longer the case. But I like the fact that they're still at Calcutta, where there'll be a lot of cricket over the next 3 weeks, including the semi-final that India won't be in. I think that's how they... So if India make the semi-final, they'll play at Mumbai. Well, they're obviously going to make the semi-final and lock that up tomorrow. Anyway, Paul Van Meekeren breaking the Zing bail when knocking over Mushfield.
That can't
be easy to do. They're heavy fuckers.
No. He was very impressive. I think he's the kind of person, like, the other thing about this Dutch side is a lot of, you know, Dutch-born players in the team, which I know, like, obviously we live in a very international, cosmopolitan world right now, and we get people from all over representing our country, and I think that's one of the great things about international sport, me personally, but also that's kind of, you know, that is you put your flag in a country when you go over, and I suppose enhance whatever area it is you enhance in whatever fields you purvey. And I just like the fact that in a still a relatively new cricket country, we're seeing it come through a grassroots level. I think he's a good embodiment of that.
All right, Vish, as we bid farewell to you. You can read everything Vish does. It's all great on the Cricket Info website. You're writing a piece tonight about the Dutch middle order.
I am indeed, yeah. So I've workshopped a bit of it here.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've worked through a few notes might be taken out the back of our conversation. We'll be talking with you again on the podcast soon, I'm certain. Tomorrow is England and India at Lucknow. I'm tipping a lot of people are going to watch that on YouTube. Get involved. Follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/thefinalword. Our history show's coming out on Monday. And I've happened upon one of the best stories we've ever done in the four years of making that show. So if you're a regular Final Word listener, better still, if you're not, Jeff and I make a history program. This is the 156th episode of it. And there's a story about something that happened in 1879, which will blow your minds. And the next Netherlands game, just to finish off with housekeeping, it's against Afghanistan on Friday at Lucknow. That's extremely winnable.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides deserve to beat each other in a way. They both deserve a third win. Anyway, one will come out victorious. That's it. That's us done. Our coverage, as always, for Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary. The Dutch, brilliant. They get a second win. That'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go.